we going to do our children's thing? Okay, children's thing tonight. Very good. Outstanding. And one announcement we may have missed. We are going to be observing the Lord's Supper this Sunday p.m. This Sunday in the p.m. service, Lord's Supper. So we've been doing most of them on Sunday a.m., and we're just taking some opportunity to rotate those around, the Lord's Supper, the observance of it. Hit some of you folks that are regular on Sunday night. So praise the Lord for that. It's going to be a good time. Observance of the Lord's Supper this Sunday in the p.m. Brother Jeremiah, you got it? Sunday p.m. So Lord's Supper music, man. All right. Outstanding. Good to see each and every one of you tonight. You doing okay? Amen. Good to be back in church. Amen. We attended a church Sunday. Church at Creeks Inn, brother-in-law's church, sister-in-law, their family, and had a blessed time with them. Went and ate Father's Day lunch with Stephanie's dad and parents, and so it was so nice to be doted on Father's Day, isn't it? Amen. Dad got your day. It was a good day. Amen. Sunday was a good day. Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 29. Genesis chapter 29, we continue on in this saga, this great book of beginnings, Genesis chapter 29. I'm going to ask you to stand as we read verses 31 through verse 35. Genesis chapter 29, beginning in verse 31 through 35. If you had a chance to find that this evening, would you say amen?
Amen.
All right, Genesis chapter 29, beginning in verse 31. And we'll take it here through verse 35. God's word reads this. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, because the Lord hath heard I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. Verse 34. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. Verse 35 reads, and she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. And notice what it says there, and left bearing. She has more children, but she's taking a break here in the bearing of them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for what you want to reveal to us tonight. Father, we pray that you take your truth and you apply it to each heart as you see fit. Father God, we pray that you would instill in us the gospel message, that you would burn in us the truth of your word, and Lord, we would be a representation of who you are and what you want to accomplish in this old, lost, dying world around us. Lord, may we be on mission. May we be focused on those around us that are lost, and may you give us those appointments, those encouraging words, those words of invitation to church, or that they need to be in God's Word. Lord, just allow us to use our words and our actions, our attitudes, everything within us to further your gospel message. We love you tonight. We praise you for all that you do for us. And we are eternally grateful for the salvation that we have in you. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Now, we've been talking about Jacob. And Jacob, we've already mentioned about his arrival into Paddan Aram. That was verses 1 through 12. And then we've talked about Jacob's arrangements at Paddan Aram in chapter 29, verse 13. And that goes all the way past what we've read tonight to chapter 30, verse 43. We're not going to get that far into chapter 30. We're not even going to start chapter 30, but we're going to finish chapter 29 this evening. We have begun talking about the matter of Jacob's wives. That section of Scripture begins in 29:13 and goes through chapter 30, verse 24. And we began, last time we talked about this, we talked about Jacob's, his fervent love. Who's the fervent love? It's not Leah, is it? It's Rachel. His fervent love, Rachel, verses 13 through 20 of chapter 29. And then we got into, last time we talked about this, Jacob's first lesson, right? Jacob is eating his crow. The roosters have come home, right? He is getting what he has sown. He is receiving consequences back for his unjust actions in his home, in his family, towards his father. So all this stuff is coming full circle. His first lesson. We said the story of Jacob's first lesson unfolded in three parts. And you'll remember these. There was the demand, verses 21 and 22, Genesis 29. There was the discovery in 29, verses 25 and 26. This ain't my wife, remember that? The discovery. This isn't the one I thought I was marrying. I thought I was marrying Rachel. I woke up next to Leah this morning. The discovery, right? We talked about how there's a principle of reciprocity, poetic justice in the dealings of God with men. Remember that quote I gave you from one of the commentators? Jacob had to reap just what he had sowed. And the commentator said this, "The mills of God grind slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine." And so here's Jacob. He's shocked. He's stunned. He doesn't know what to do about all this. He was forced with the cold, hard facts, like it or not. He is married to Leah according to the custom of the country, of the land, and he had already consummated the marriage. Tricked or not, he's consummated it. He's married to Leah. We said that Laban does give some relief to his pain. He does pour some oil onto the wound of his heart, and he allows Jacob to marry the other sister, Rachel, for how many more years of work? Seven more years. Well, I said the story of Jacob's first lesson unfolds in three parts. What's the third part? Well, don't you see it coming? One man married two sisters. I mean, don't you see the third part of his first lesson is the difficulty. I mean, it is about to get turned on, the difficulty. Verses 30 and 31, God's Word reads this about the difficulty. "And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him Laban," talking about his father-in-law, "yet seven other years. And when the Lord saw," verse 31, "and when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren." Man, the difficulty. God loved Leah just as much as he loved Rachel, no matter what Jacob felt about it. Jacob might not love Leah the way he loved Rachel, but God loved Leah and Rachel the same. And he took action on Leah's behalf. And what did he do? He made it impossible for Rachel to bear children, and evidently he made it possible for Leah to bear children. And Jacob, he's a slow learner, but he's not that slow of a learner. He knew in the culture and the time in which he lived, Jacob knew that if he was to have any standing in the culture in which he lived, he needed sons. He needed boys. He needed healthy young men. He needed strapping, healthy, big-bone guys. Why? Why did he need them? To support their father, to help in the family business, to boost his affairs, to bring huge dowries as he promised these boys off in marriage. I mean, it was essential to a man's communal standing during the time in the culture that if you're going to be somebody, you got to have a family. And you got to have some boys. And not just a few boys, you got to have a lot of boys. This country was built on that kind of thinking back 100 years ago, wasn't it? Right? Big old families. You know, Brother Roger, big old families with lots of boys, right? Amen. You've been there, done that, got the shirt for that and everything, right? So Jacob understood he wanted sons. And the only way to get sons is to consider Leah. And consider her, he did. So we see that his family life begins to grow. Genesis 29, verses 32 through chapter 30, verse 24. And tonight we're going to try to get through verse 35 of Genesis 29. We're just covering these first four sons that Leah brought into the world this evening. This lengthy section records the birth of Jacob's children. If we follow it all the way to the end, it takes us all the way to Joseph. We'll not get there tonight. We'll not get there next week, but eventually we're going to get to Joseph. This passage, when we look at it in its entirety, is a sad record. We think about Jacob's home life, married to two sisters. His home, like, can you imagine? It's a battlefield. Two embittered women. One thing I've learned after 47 years of living, if there's two embittered women, guess where you need to be? Not in the middle, amen? You don't begin in the middle of that. Between two embittered women, they'll work it out. I'm telling you, you get in the middle of that, you end up losing. Those women know how what? They know how to work those things out. What do men do? We work it out, don't we? When we get cross? Yeah, they work it out. I've seen guys get in a hurry to get between two embittered women. Big mistake. Get out of that thing. I mean, you just be an observer, all right? Because why? You're not a woman. You don't need to be in the middle of it. There he was in the middle between two embittered women. He's married to both of them. He can't get out of the middle. He's stuck in the middle, right? His home is nothing but a battlefield. Jacob torn between his devotion to Rachel, his desire for sons. He's pulled between Rachel. He's pulled between Leah. And then they get their maids involved. I mean, it is crazy. That's coming next week. So the first four sons born to Leah. The first one. His firstborn was Reuben. Reuben. What can we say about Reuben? He is the child of sore distress. Look at verse 32. Sore distress, Reuben. And Leah conceived and bare a son. This is the firstborn. This is the oldest boy. And she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon, what does it say there? My affliction. Now therefore, my husband will love me. I want you to note something here in the passage. Note something here in the verses. Note how Leah acknowledged the Lord. You know what the word for God here is? Whenever you see the capital L, and then they're capital letters. They're in the shape of capital letters, but they're not capital size. They're three-quarter size. Whenever you see capital L, full-size capital L, and then three-quarter size O-R-D, and they're capitals, but they're three-quarter in size, whenever you see that in God's Word in the Old Testament, that is referring to Jehovah God. That's what she's calling the Lord. She's calling the Lord Jehovah. She gets it. You see that? Leah gets it. Some knowledge of Jehovah had lingered in Laban's family since Abraham's days. Abraham had been evangelizing. Abraham had been telling. Abraham had been communicating. And Jacob, during his 7 long years in Laban's home, must have often spoke about Jehovah to the people that would listen. And you've got Leah. In her bitterness and loneliness, she acknowledges Jehovah in the birth of her boy. She's the first one, unloved as she is, poor eyesight as she has, she's the first one of Jacob's family to confess her faith in Almighty God. Amen? She's the first one to get it. The second son, Simeon, is known to us as the child of simple disappointment. Look at verse 33. And she conceived again and bear a son, and said, because the Lord hath heard, I was, what does it say there? Hated. He hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. So in verse 32, it says, the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. In verse 33, because the Lord hath heard, I was hated. Here she goes. Leah was evidently, based on this passage, disappointed in her hope that Reuben would win her the affection of her husband. The birth of Reuben did nothing of the kind. She still held out here on the outside of Jacob's heart. She's not really allowed to come in. He's really not given himself to her in full love. Well, because he loves Rachel. Scholars tell us that perhaps on the strength of her new status as a mother, she's not just brought one child into the family, she's brought two. And not just two children, she's brought two boys. Because of her strength of her new status as a mother, she tried to assert herself and say, hey, we need equal time here. I need equal affection here from you, Jacob, the way you show it to Rachel. Based on verse 33, Leah seems to have been put in her place, either by Jacob or Rachel, or perhaps the both of them. When Reuben was born, Leah had said, God hath seen. And now she said, God hath heard. God had heard. God had heard the wordy encounters in that unhappy home. Oh man, where the tongues of Jacob and Rachel were sharpened, where the tongues of Jacob and Rachel had dug deep into Leah, and he had heard Leah's anguished cries to him. So guess what? Leah called her second son. She called him Simeon. And what does Simeon mean? It means heard. That's right. It means heard. So we can praise God tonight. We can praise Him this evening that in our distress, in our anguish, does the Almighty God hear us? Yes, He does. We have some Simeon with us, don't we? That's right. God hears us in our anguished cries, in our embittered moans, in our impassioned pain. God hears us. Leah's third son was Levi. Now, what's so amazing about this? Look at verse 34. She conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. Now what's amazing to me is, what comes out of Levi? The Levitical priesthood, doesn't it? Right? All about worship. All about ushering people into the presence of Almighty God. All about helping these folks maintain, right, this sacrificial system, alluding to the fact that Jesus will one day come and be the ultimate sacrifice and die on the cross for humanity's sins and make a way for us to get back to God. All of this priesthood stuff, worship, the temple, the tabernacle in the desert, all of this stuff, it comes out of the tribe of Levi. Yet in verse 34, no mention of God. No mention of God. She said first that God had what? God had seen. And then she said secondly that God had heard. And now she is so distraught, so depressed here in verse 34. We see Levi, the child of spiritual discouragement. Well, that's where anguish normally leads, doesn't it? Leads us to a point of spiritual discouragement where we can't pray, where we can't read God's Word. We're just so discouraged. We're so depressed. We're in such pain. Spiritual discouragement. You know what the good thing is about spiritual discouragement? You know what the good thing about it is? It ends, praise God. It ends. If you've ever been spiritually discouraged, it ended, didn't it? Right? And if you're not spiritually discouraged, guess what? If you live long enough, you're probably going to be spiritually discouraged before you die. Let me give you something. You just keep on trucking. You keep on trucking with Jesus. As painful as it is, as hard as it is to come to church, as difficult as it is to utter a three-word prayer, you just keep doing it because let me tell you something, spiritual discouragement will what? One day pass. Amen? It does for Leah. It does for Leah. The cycles of life. Isn't life a journey? You're up, you're down, you're in the middle, right? You're down, you're back up. They wrote a song about that. Life is a journey. You heard it Life is a journey. Anybody heard the song? We need to sing that song, brother Jeremiah. Or you need to sing that song as a special. Life is a journey. Amen, brother. I'm living the journey. You're living the journey. Life is a journey, right? That's right. Levi. She acknowledged God with those first two sons, but not with this one. When we look at all of the sons born to Jacob, next to Judah, there was no more illustrious son born to Jacob than Levi. The priesthood comes out of this guy. Not even Leah's spiritual discouragement could prevent God from manifesting His grace through Levi's line. God's grace will not be shut down. Amen? Not by my discouragement, not by my pain, not by my hurt. God is going to come through. God wins in the end. The gospel goes forward. Amen? That's what it's doing here in this passage. We get to this fourth child. Then came Judah. What can we say about Judah? We've already covered the child of spiritual discouragement, Levi, the child of simple disappointment, Simeon, the child of sore distress, Reuben. Now we have Judah, the child of splendid destiny. Oh, it ends on a positive upbeat, verse 35. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, notice what she says, didn't say anything about God in the previous verse. Notice what she says. Now will I praise the word for Jehovah there. Now will I praise Jehovah. You think she's saved? I think she's got that faith, right? Now I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. And the verse ends, it says, and left bearing. She's taking a break. She's brought four strapping boys into the world. Judah, the child of splendid destiny. By now, Leah had recovered her spiritual optimism. The night of spiritual discouragement, the pain of it has passed. Now will I praise the Lord. And you know what? God honored her for that praise. God honored her for that praise. Israel's kings sprang through the line of Judah. And if you follow Judah's line all the way out, in the fullness of time, the Son of God Himself came into the world through Judah's line. Splendid destiny. So what can we say about Leah at the end of verse 35, Genesis chapter 29? We can say this. Leah was no longer fretting. No longer worried because her sister had so effectively monopolized Jacob's heart. You know what? Leah had found another outlet for her love. And you know what the outlet was? It was Jehovah. She found the Lord. She no longer needed people to make her happy. Boy, if that's where you're living in life, I've got to have somebody to make me happy. You need to discover the joy of the Lord. Amen? Praise God for people around you. We need community. We need friends. We need spouses. But you need God most of all. Amen? That's where you find your true and real and constant joy. Ask Stephanie. I let her down. I'm human. Mortal man. I'm telling you, not perfect. Boy, if she's banking on me to keep her happy, she's going to be sore depressed, right? Because I'm going to fail. But there's somebody that won't fail her, and that's God Almighty. Amen? Leah had found an outlet, man. She no longer needed people to make her happy. Her joy and praise was in God. And reaching the high note in her spiritual life, Leah was free to cease having sons for a season. You know, I've done this four times. Brought four boys into the world. And he's still over there cooing up to Rachel. You know what? I think I need to find my joy and hope and peace in something else. And his name is what? Jehovah. Right? His name is Jehovah. We don't know exactly how many years Leah took off from childbearing, but she took a break. What need of assurance, further assurance, did she need? She didn't need another son. She had the Lord, and the Lord was better to her than a thousand sons. And that's what ultimately we've got to get to at the end of the day. When the head hits the pillow, when we're about to shut it down for the night, praise God for the spouse next to us, praise God for the dog at the foot of the bed or the two cats circling our head, praise God for all that. Praise God for the food in the fridge and the car in the driveway and the hot water in the hot water tank and the air conditioning blowing out of the cool vent. Praise God for all that. But when it comes to the very bottom line of life, we must have a relationship with God Almighty. Amen? Jehovah God. Jehovah God. She discovered it. She found it. And praise God for the lesson of it. Amen? Let's bow for a word of prayer. We'll get into our prayer time tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather in your name. We can sing songs of praise corporately with one another to you. Dear Lord, we pray that you lead us during this time of prayer. And that you be with us and just direct us. Give us the words to speak. Give us the direction in which we might go tonight in our prayer time. We love you and we praise you, Lord, for giving us a ministry of intercessory prayer. We pray it'd be a fruitful time in this place and for those that we lift up. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, we've got...